You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Blue Jays in action today. They drop a 2-0 decision to the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that they are still fighting for wild card life against. We're joined by Andrew Stone from BlueJaysNation.com as well as The Athletic. Before we get to the Jays game, Andrew, did you get a chance to get your eyeballs on Yankees-Tigers and the brawl they had this afternoon?
I did. I mean, what is Austin Romine doing? I mean, that's Miguel Cabrera. I mean, props to him, I guess, for standing up for whatever dumb thing he believes in. But I don't know. I wouldn't like to anger Miggy. I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of him.
No, and just watching how he reacted, too. We're chatting off, like, Cabrera looked like a boxer at the beginning, man. He pushed him away and squared up and started jabbing him. Like, that was nuts.
Yeah, you see a lot of, like, sports fights among people. You know, you think back to Andre Rison and Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Any fight, in a sport that isn't actual boxing, and it kind of is embarrassing, but that was pretty strong. That looked all right.
Yeah, usually the dugout's clear, and there's just a lot of jersey pulling. What nothing happens.
Yeah.
But actual punches thrown in this one. No punches thrown between the Jays and Rays today. If last weekend getting swept by the Cubs wasn't the nail in the coffin, is dropping 2-3 to Tampa Bay the nail in the coffin for the 2017 Jays?
I mean, probably, but it felt like we had nails in this coffin, a month ago, right? And then they sort of suddenly stayed in the race because the teams ahead of them were just so bad. And I think, as much as this does feel like it probably is it, and I don't want to talk, realistically about whether they have a chance to, make the playoffs or anything at this point, really, because it's just kind of embarrassing at this point, I guess. Things can still happen. Tom Kohler, for as bad as today was, he looked okay. Like, that might be a solution in the rotation. He kind of was an interesting pickup that they made for kind of cheap, who has some team control still left, and he's a guy who had some really good years with the Marlins, and this year has kind of gone sideways, but I think is a better pitcher than this year's stats indicate. So he had a good performance, and if he's a guy who could come in and give some stability to the back of the rotation, maybe it's fine. But it's tough to think about them as a playoff team right now, or as a team that's in the race, especially after the gut punch that is today. That was Sunday in Chicago and that whole series against the Cubs.
One of the bright spots for the Jays in 2017 has been the play of Justin Smoke in June and July. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. He was 0-4 today, and in the month of August was batting .244. How much fun was it to watch Smoke this year, and how much of a letdown is it that he's had a slumping August, and really, he's kind of slumped when the team has started slumping?
Yeah, it's true. He's not looked as great lately. I mean, I don't want to say it's a Michael Saunders thing. I don't think that it is. I think he's still, showing the signs of what made him so good in those first couple months of the season, which is, you don't see the flailing at pitches, the strikeouts in the way that we saw last year. The contact skills, I think, are still there. He's just, it is, I think, just a slump. And I think I hope we can think of Justin Smoke as a hitter now, where 2017 has raised the bar for what we expect from him, because it's been such a great year. But yeah, you're right. I mean, with him not going as well as he has been all year, even the emergence of Josh Donaldson, who, obviously has had a tough year and then completely went nuts at the start of August and at the end of July. It definitely hurts them, because that's really, those are the two big bats in their lineup, but they don't have a whole lot else going on, really, beyond those two guys.
Andrew Stone from BlueJaysNation.com joined us. Blue Jays drop a tough one today, 2-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The record is now 60-67. Andrew, how has the fan base reacted to this season? It's clearly everything went right for them the last couple of seasons. They got hot at the right time. They had an MVP in Josh Donaldson. Jose Bautista was clutch. They're getting good pitching. And now, I don't want to use the term fair-weather fans, but it looks like there's not a lot of buzz and interest around the Jays. Are the diehards kind of gearing up for, it could be another 15, 20 years of mediocrity? Is there kind of a buzz that they've built some new fans, they built some new connections here or there, and they could be back in 2 or 3 years?
I think the diehards are ones who were here through, 2008, 9, 10, 11, when it was like the bad, bad year. So they have sort of a different perspective on it. I think that next year is really going to be the interesting one, because this year, I know even, personally, bought season tickets mostly to get access to better playoff tickets for last year, and I think there's a lot of people who are in that same boat. So you look at the attendance numbers and you think that, it's still pretty strong here, but I don't know that that's a given that it's going to keep going forward, because it's been a tough team to watch. I wish I could remember who it was to give them credit, but somebody on Twitter the other day said, when the Blue Jays win, it doesn't look convincing, but when they lose, it looks really convincing. And that's felt like the way it's been all year. And I think a lot of times, baseball is just such a strange game, and you don't physically impose yourself on people, and strange stuff happens, and it's maybe not a game where you can think about it, I guess, that way. But I think I've been pretty convinced by the losing Blue Jays myself this year, right? So going forward, I don't know. I don't know where the fan base is going to go, to be perfectly honest. I think there's still a buzz. I think if they were winning, there would still be a buzz for sure. I'm definitely not ready to be in the camp where people just love going to the ballpark again, and it's a whole new thing. I think they're still in some sort of fraught territory in terms of really locking down a much bigger fan base. So it'll be interesting. I don't know how the marketing's going to work next, going into next year, because they're going to try to say they're going to be good. We're going to try to compete. Yeah. And I don't know if people will actually believe that.
I think we chatted a little bit about this last week, or I had a guest on earlier this week talking about it, but Josh Donaldson, Buster only reported that the Blue Jays are going to listen to offers over the winter, and there's nothing wrong with simply listening to offers, but do you buy that? Do you think there's a legitimate chance that they could move Josh Donaldson this winter and try to get something back for him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be a better team in 2018 for it. I think a lot of the value that you were going to get for him is probably sailed anyway, because, I mean, if you'd have traded him at the trade deadline this year, a team looking at 18 months of him, two playoff runs out of him, I think you get a lot more value back for him than what you would get if you're just trading him in the winter. But I wrote a piece for The Athletic this week about how a big extension for him might work and might fit into their financial picture. And I think they can make it work. I would love to see them do that. I'm not exactly hopeful. And I think that they definitely will listen on him this winter.
Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation and The Athletic joins us talking baseball. The Blue Jays drop a 2-0 decision today to the Tampa Bay Rays. They're at the bottom of the AL East. A team at the top of the AL East is the Boston Red Sox, a team that Blue Jays face quite a bit. Looks like they're comfortably going to walk away with that division. And Andrew, I've asked you about Aaron Judge for the Yankees. I've asked you about Gary Sanchez for the Yankees. I'm going to ask you about Rafael Devers for the Boston Red Sox. Why do all these teams in the AL East have some of these young studs that apparently just get red hot for stretches and no one can seem to do anything about it?
I think this is a really good. I think they're really good at developing players and picking players. And Boston has been especially smart about knowing which players to get rid of and which players to keep. You know, the core that they have is, if you look back at all the guys that they've traded over the last, few seasons, going back to the Ben Cherington years and now currently under Dombrowski, that, they've kept the guys who really are the studs there. And I think that Devers is another example of that. I think he's, a guy who's been at the top of a lot of prospect lists, and you see, Moncada and Michael Kopech and guys that they dealt to Chris Sale, who was also into, it's just an extremely well-run organization. It's the envy of, I think, the entire league, which is why, as a Blue Jays fan, I see them hiring guys out of that organization and feel good about it, even though that doesn't fill in the gap really, really quickly. I think that's just a long-term good thing for them.
Andrew Stone, just a couple more quick ones for you, Andrew. Now that the Blue Jays are likely out of playoff contention for the rest of 2017, who would you feel less bad about winning the World Series? When it's hoisted in November, which team would leave you with the best, worst feeling in your stomach, if that makes sense? Who are you okay with winning the World Series this year?
I mean, honestly, the Dodgers, I would be very okay with seeing. Okay. I mean, and I've kind of done a bit of a heel turn on Alex Anthopoulos and maybe revised some of my thoughts about what he was as the GM here, but I think it would be great to see him win. I would think it would be great to see Clayton Kershaw come back, shake off the reputation that he can't get it done in the playoffs. And I mean, that's just such a great, great team. And I feel bad for their fans who can't watch their games because of the weird TV situation there. I would be okay with that. I would be okay with Houston too. It's the usual suspects. I don't want to see the Yankees. I don't want to see the Red Sox. Just the obvious ones. But yeah, the Dodgers, I mean, the Blue Jays have won the World Series more recently than the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's a crazy thing to me.
Yeah.
And to see them win, I'm kind of pulling for them, I guess.
We'll close on this one. The last segment we're chatting about, we're in Edmonton, obviously, so it's Oilers focus all the time. I asked our listeners, out of all the current guys still playing hockey, whether it's overseas or NHL, who'd you like to see come back for a tour of duty for the Oilers now that things have changed? Is there someone in the world of baseball who's still going right now you'd like to see just one last kick at the can with the Toronto Blue Jays? I know our morning show host, Dustin Nielsen, is a huge Kawasaki fan. He would love to see Kawasaki come back for one last season with the Jays. Is there one player that you had a soft spot in your heart you'd like to see come back?
That's a great question. I mean, it's almost at the point of like Jose Bautista. I would like to see him get a proper like retirement tour, because I think this year is, the signs are showing that he's not going to be back and is you know, not the guy he once was. But as far as across the league, you know, I don't know. I think the guys where the Vaihart followed are kind of gone now. Brandon Morrow is a guy, speaking of the Dodgers, who, you know, I love seeing the success that he's having after sort of years in the wilderness and getting hurt. But, you know, he seems to be doing all right down there in Los Angeles, and I hope that goes well, too. But, yeah, Bautista, I don't know if I want to see him on the team next year. I'd like to see him in maybe a diminished role, maybe not playing so much right field. But, yeah, that's the guy.
Actually, we'll close on this one. You mentioned Bautista playing right field. Josh Donaldson playing shortstop. What have you made of the third base? I know it's not that much of a transition, but what have you thought of Donaldson's play at shortstop?
I thought it's fine enough that I'm real happy for them to try it again next year. You know, okay. if you can have a guy like that who is, I don't think it's ideal, but I mean, the bat makes up for so much.
Yeah.
And I think if you have a team with Troy Tulowitzki, who's obviously going to get injured, you know, as unfortunate as that is to say, having Donaldson be able to step in and play shortstop, I think looks a lot better than pretty much any other configuration you can put together. So I'm real okay with it.
Andrew, thanks for giving us a few minutes, man. Gregor's back next Thursday, so you'll be chatting with him, not me. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, man. Thanks very much.
Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation.